said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, These are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age. When he's saying Israel, he means Jacob, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Here's what I then on my mind. Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
There's a lot to said right there. They seen Joseph when he was only 17 years old. His brothers had went off, and Joseph, his father told him, said, I'm going to send you to where your brothers are. He went and found his brothers, and they seen him coming afar off, and they had despised him because he told them the dream that he had, where that his mother and father and the brothers all bowed before Joseph and bowed down, and it despised them. And they knew that Joseph was a child of Jacob's old age, and I don't really like Jacob doing this, showing him favoritism. I don't like that part of Jacob, but he did, and it caused trouble within the brothers. And when they seen Joseph coming from afar off, they despised him. They said, we're going to slay him right now, throw him into the pit. It got a little closer, and one of them spoke up, said, don't slay him, so let's just throw him into the pit and just leave him there. Well, they threw him into the pit, you know the story, and Reuben got the idea to go back. Well, by the time they got back, another band of travelers come along and pulled him out, and end up Joseph gets sold into Egypt into Potiphar's house.
Yeah.
And we know the story. But I want to tell you something. God was working everything out in his own design and his own plan, and it looked bad for Joseph. He was just a young lad. In fact, I was reading on the way down here that the Bible gives you a 2-year span from the time that he gets thrown into the pit and gets sold until the time he starts telling how that he was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's house was being blessed, Mark, and Potiphar himself realized that. Said everything this young man does seems to bless, and Potiphar gave him charge over all his house and over everything. And then we know that how Potiphar's wife began to watch Jacob, watch Joseph, and desired to work adulterous acts with Joseph, and commit a lewd act with Joseph. And Joseph, day after day, kept pushing her off and telling her no, and resisting that temptation. Said, how can I do this? And to my master, how can I do this before God also? How can I commit this thing? Said that my master, Potiphar, has gave me charge over all his house, except he's given me everything but his wife. Said, how can I do this thing?
Come on.
And finally it got so bad that she reached out when Potiphar was gone, reached out and got a hold of the cloak, and Joseph took off running, and there she realized she's got the cloak in her hand, and the wheel starts turning, and she makes up the story that he came to her and almost tried to almost tried to rape her and just get down the plane, and things start looking bad. So Potiphar comes home. We know the story how Joseph gets put into prison, and there he is for days and years in prison. Then we know the story that how the baker and the butcher come in, Mark, and the baker and the is it the cupbearer or the butler, how they came in and how they had dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dreams. And you know what? He interprets the dreams right. But there he's forgot again until a couple years or so later. And I'm going to tell you, I'm building this stuff, and it looked bad. And sometimes we wonder why in the world. But did you see what Jacob said? Did you see what the Bible called Israel? Did you see what he said? When they come back, the brothers, let me back up a little bit. When the brothers come back, and tell that story. They had already taken that coat that father had made for Joseph, the coat of many colors. And they had already taken that, Mark. They had killed one of their goats, and they had taken the blood of that goat and dipped that coat of many colors down in that blood and took it back to Jacob. The apple of his eye. I like to tell you what, the joy of his old age. He said, he's a child of my old age. And he had joy in him. And he had great hopes and great dreams in him. I start thinking about how many times We've seen young people come along through these church doors and knelt and prayed at these doors and made the parents so proud, made the pastor so proud, made the youth leader so proud, and you're so proud of them.
Right, man.
And then the devil goes out and destroys them.
Right.
And he always wants to flaunt it, so he comes bearing back the banner and showing how they've been destroyed. Jacob sees that coat. I told you I'm preaching off the cuff, but I'm preaching what's on my heart. It's been on my heart for 2 days. Joseph sees that coat and sees the blood on there, and he can't believe it. And his sons and his daughters come in. They try to comfort him, and they can't even comfort him. He's weeping bitter. Mark, his heart's broke. And you know what? The Bible leaves the story of that coat of many colors. And as far as I know, the best I say, you don't hear much more about it, Brother Paul. But I believe that coat of many colors never left Jacob's sight again. I believe they had a box somewhere. It was put away. And they would say, "Dad, this thing you've had for years, get rid of it." He said, "I can't part with it." You know, we've got things like that. I carry in my heart harmonica band. I carry a B-flat harp of my grandpa Ferguson's. You know what? It's an older harp, but there's something special about it. When I start trying to play the harp, Mama gave that to me. Said, "This is your grandpa's." And you know what? It's something special. It may not mean nothing to nobody, but it means something to me. And I think that coat of many colors, the brothers tried to get rid of it. The daughters tried to sneak it out of the house. But Jacob said, "I want to see that."
God.
I believe in his heart he just couldn't give him up.
No.
And what I'm trying to preach to you tonight is it may look bad, and we may have given up on a bunch of people that we think will never once again darken these doors. And I'll tell you, the devil showed us how bad things look. The devil shows us it looks like they're destroyed. I mean, it looks like that they're gone. They're just gone. But Mark, we're just not giving God a chance. We're not giving God a chance. I really think that deep down he just always had that little spark in there. I remember Brother Donnie, just how God works in mysterious ways, how just he answers prayers, and how, you know, we give up on things and think it can never happen. Seems like it's a mess. I mean, you can never get it untangled. But you just let God begin to work on that thing. In God's eyes, he had a plan for Jacob, and he had a plan for Joseph. It was bad. It was a valley for Joseph. I mean, it was a valley for Joseph. But it was God's plan and God's will. Am I going anywhere tonight with this? We've had some backsliders come back not too long ago that I wondered if they've gone too far. I'm bad for that. I give up too fast. We got to give God a chance. It may look like they're gone, but here's what I want to tell you. It looked hopeless in Joseph's case until God began to move. And he left Potiphar's house and moved up into the Pharaoh's mansion. And Pharaoh let him have the interpreter of his dream and told him that there's going to be 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. He said, "But first there'll be 7 years of plenty." He said, "Here's what you do. Store up everything that you can to last you as you go through the 7 years of plenty, because when the 7 years of famine come, that's what you're going to live on."
Yeah.
Well, it came to pass.
Hallelujah.
So you got a whole nother 7 years of plenty that Jacob still thinks Joseph's dead. But I believe in that heart that he kept seeing that coat of many colors. I believe that this was a constant reminder to him of Jacob. And I want to tell you, you still got hope. If they've got breath in their body, you still got hope you'll see him again someday. Here's what I want to try to tie everything together. 7 years pass, and they're over there in the land of Canaan, and they send the boys over into Egypt to try to buy a little bit of food. And they don't know that they're talking to their own brother. They don't know they're talking to their own brother. But here's the picture coming together where it looked like a mess. When he was looking up from the pit, it looked like it would never be the same again. When he looked up from the pit, dead. He thought, this life as I know it has passed me. When Jacob got the word and seen the coat of many colors with the bloodstained on it, he said, it'll never be the same again. My son out of the light is not dead. All hope is gone. But I want to tell you, we just hadn't given God the chance to come on the scene. It took a long time. It took a long time. The wheels turned slow. But glory to God, they turned steady. They turned right in line with what God's plans was. Well, if I learned anything, it's been to wait upon God. I don't care, you can take a shortcut. You can take a detour. You'll just cause a big mess. It seems like you're not moving just an inch here and there. Move the wrong way God wants you to go. We better follow God's plans. Joseph could have laid with Potiphar's wife, could have followed after the Egyptian gods, and we would have said, bless his heart, he was thrown into a pit, his brothers despised him, his father thought he was dead, he was a castaway, he was in a strange land, in a strange country. We could have gave him a lot of excuses.
Yeah.
But he stayed true.
Right. Hey, man.
I've been thinking that somebody, Sister Kim Myers' mom, the other day down in Sunday school class told that she'd been praying that her one boy would get a hold of her, and she hadn't seen him in 16 years, hadn't heard his voice. All of a sudden the phone rings just about a week ago.
Well,
and she answers, and there's a voice that has grown up, grown hoarse, has aged. But as they talked, she said, it's your son, Mom. I tell you what, God's able to reach him. God's able to pull things together. And
come on, Mike.
I want to tell you, I thought about the past regrets that I've got, where I've seen those that I used to pray with and fast with and shout with. We would sit right in here, Sister Hazel, we sit right in here where they had those good revivals with Brother Ralph Cox and the Davis family and Brother L.D. Moore and Brother Hamas Crawford and on down the line. I mean, just one revival after another sweeping through. And I was one of the young people. But Brother Paul, where are we at tonight? I thought so many times I wish I could just go to them individually. And some of them have came back. And I thank God, but there's a whole lot. There's a line full of them. And I feel like the devil's saying, they're defeated. They'll never be back. It's over. They're dead. But I want to tell you, they still got life in their body. They still got hope. And I want to give you hope tonight. You've been a praying for it. You've been a fasting for it. You've been asking God. I just can't accept it, God. I don't believe Jacob could accept it, that Joseph was dead. And I believe that God's able to touch him. You know, I got saved, and I was saved under Rich Goldeisen, me and Mark was. And he stayed a little while, then left. And Brother Collins was preaching wholeness. And, you know, God just started opening my eyes to things. And he preached them all along, Brother Jim. I just hadn't really seen them. And God just started opening my eyes. And man, I mean, it seemed like I just tried to kept digging in deeper and deeper. We didn't think I was really anything. But all of a sudden, Brother Jim, things just started grabbing their eyes. And a lot of them started leaving me and going their separate ways. And I thought, Lord, you know, we've got a lot of regrets. And then here come along Brother Joey Hyatt. And me and Mark was, I think Mark was here, part of that choir, the Spirit-filled choir. And we wore our black pants and our white shirts. And the girls wore their blouses and their black dresses. And I believe they had a vest they wore. And we went around different churches singing. And the power would come down. And we'd shut the house down. And we had a blessing time of God. But sometimes I wonder, where are they at now? They've got children like I've got children. But they're raising them by a single parent. They've got children like I've got children. But they're not being raised in the house of God. They're being raised on knothole baseball fields. They're being raised in soccer fields. They're being raised out there in the world. And if I listen to the devil, I say, there's no hope. These days are past. These days will never be the same again. I'll never see their face again. And here's what I want to try to tie all this in. Joseph looked up unto his father. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God has showed me also. You might want to say it like this. God not only showed me your face, but he showed me your grandchildren. My grandchildren. He's let me see your children. God's got a thing that's called his divine will. God's got his ways to deal with men's hearts to bring them back. And I believe we give up so many times, so fast. And I think sometimes if we would just continue to keep the spark burning, keep it stirred up, keep on praying for him. I believe God can reach out.
Amen.
And I believe, just like some has come back here not too long. Come on, Mark. It was 1981 when we was the youth leaders. Mark flew in from Texas. We probably needed a lot of help, but we tried. Brother Jim, it was this past summer, just a few weeks ago. We were there visiting that night, and I was feeling a little awkward. I didn't know a lot of them young ones that you was with, Josh. I didn't know a lot of them. But I squeezed my way and crowded my way around, and I seen Mark was falling right behind me. And we was down there, and next thing I knew, Brother Jim, the power of God was falling, and I turned around. I turned around, it's just a blessing for me. I thought, Lord, I'll never see this again. I'll never see that again. But there it was, Brother Jim. The devil said it'll never happen again. But there it was. I was praying and praying with my brother. And we were praying, young people, through the Holy Ghost. And God was working. And once again, we were shouting and enjoying the praises of God. We gave up too many times, too fast. Glory to God. I tell you, there are so many times that I thought I had it figured out. I thought I had the words to say.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't say, I try. I try not to say a whole lot anymore. Because I'm afraid of saying the wrong thing. But I believe there's something sparking within their hearts. And maybe you've been carrying that coat in many colors, and the devil said they're so far gone,
Yeah. They'll
never be back. They went so deep. Well, how deep? Just where does God quit reaching?
Where?
Have they blasphemed the Holy Ghost yet? I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt very many have. Right. Brother Ronnie, just how far do they reach? It wasn't nothing for me and Norma. We had just kept saying, we've got to go by and see Ronnie and Teresa. I can tell it, can I, Ronnie? Because it sure blesses me every time I tell it.
Amen.
I tell it, can I? Hey, I said, we got to go by and see Ronnie and Teresa. Norma said, I know. Well, we was driving up on Saturday afternoon, driving back to Kentucky on Sunday night. And just finally one time, after Sunday meal, out there at Ryan's, we just pulled by there at their house. And here comes Teresa running out. She said, I've been praying you would stop by. Don't you think God knows what he's doing? It could have been any one of you. But God just put it on our hearts to stop by and say, we've been thinking about you. We still love you. God still loves you. We'd love to see you back in church once again. You want to know where they are? This Saturday night, there is a test of God worshiping with the saints.
Right.
Glory to God. We're giving up too fast. I've got friends that I've been praying for. I've got family I've been praying for. They'd get saved. I get tired of telling people they're going to be here. Especially one of my friends. He'll promise me, he'll promise me, he'll promise me. And he never does show. Well, he may show someday.
Someday.
I believe he's going to show someday. He took off to the service. Traveled all over the world. Seen everything, done everything, been everywhere. And the devil would tell me, Mike, you and Ken Maloney was at the Christmas party for the Army. You were talking about going in. They were talking to you about what field you could go into. And this was in 1979 at Christmas.
All right.
We had desires to go to the service. And one of our friends went ahead and went on delayed enlistment. But it wasn't but just about a little over a month that I was in an altar getting saved. And I just, everybody was going in. Paul was backsliding. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to backslide. I might be out there in the army somewhere. And the Lord come back. And man, I want to make heaven my home. And I know you can stay saved in the service, but I have never met one from this church that left in the service and stayed saved. There's been many of them come back and prayed back through, but I just, the devil said, Mike, you're missing it. And one day he was talking to me on the phone. He said, Mike, he said, I used to lay over there, Italy, lay in Korea. And he said, you know what I would think about? I said, what? He said, I'd think about you and Mark there at the highway. And he said, I wish I was like you guys. Yeah. I'll tell you what, he don't know, but that just touched my heart. I thought, devil, you ain't nothing but a liar.
Right.
Young people is coming up. The devil will let your friends pass you up. Looks like they're doing well. That's fine. We're not trying to stay down here forever. We're trying to live our life for God to go up there in the glory world. And I want to tell you, let me tie all this thing together. Joseph looked in his father's eyes. And you know what it says? I didn't even read that verse. But when they told him, they told Jacob, they said, Joseph is alive. He said, I don't believe it. He said, I don't believe it. He said, I do not believe it. Until they seen all the wagons and everything being brought in, Norma. Until they seen everything coming in, they bring daddy and the children out of Canaan. And then Jacob had a dream, and God said, fear not to go into Egypt, for I'll be with you, and I'll raise up children. And he said, Joseph is there, and I'm just trying to paraphrase, but you know what? God confirmed that. And I thought, Lord, all these years, brother, because you know, look like God could have said, come on, Jacob, just hold on a little bit. I don't understand, God. But for some reason, it wasn't until the time that the wagons started coming in out of Egypt that God gave Jacob the dream. And then here comes Jacob, and he sees Joseph, and they weep. And I'm telling you what, they have a weeping spell. You know, I believe the prodigal's like that. When he come home, I meant, you talk about the prodigal's father being told a bunch of lies. They said this, and I can't exactly tell you the exact people, but I've heard of those that's been in war, Mark, and the army gets, or the whatever service they're in a bad firefight, they get things mixed up, and poor old mom and dad sitting home getting news that their son's been killed in action.
Yeah.
And all along, the son's all right, just real bad in the hospital, and he ain't had a chance to get a hold of mom and dad. And I thought it's kind of like that. Then in a few days, mom gets a phone call. And they said, this is your boy. This is your boy. And she gets to ask him a bunch of questions. She says, you're playing a cruel joke on a grieving mom. And they say, it ain't no joke. And he begins to tell who he was friends with and who his dad's name is and who his grandpa's name is. And then mom realizes that the government made a mistake.
That's him.
I want to tell you that we still got hope.
Yeah.
We have got hope. Glory to God. Come on in. Thank you, Pastor. Time to be quiet. Preach this message off my cuff.